If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. One verse of Scripture you're all familiar with, that verse of Scripture. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God, the promises of your Word, the instructions from your Word. Thank you, Lord, for those that have gathered here this morning in this service. Pray your blessings upon each one of them. Ask you to help me, Father, that I would be able to deliver your message to your people. I pray that you would touch hearts and lives this morning for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching to you this morning from this text on the training center. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So we're going to talk about the training center this morning. It is the will of God that everybody, even those without children, train someone else in the way they should go. Generally speaking, it is the will of God for everybody to get married to the right person at the right time. It is also the general will of God that marriage result in children. Now, we know that there are exceptions to that, but it is the general will of God that marriage result in children. The command to be fruitful and multiply, which was given at creation and repeated following the flood, has never been revoked. The psalmist said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." We are not told how many children to have, but even that is a decision not to be determined without consulting the will of God. It isn't up to us, it's up to God. God is the one that we consult about even that. Again, the psalmist declares, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full." The trainers of future generations, listen to this. The trainers of future generations, though it involves persons outside the home, such as pastors, Sunday school teachers, even book authors, and so forth. But the trainers consist primarily of fathers and mothers. One primary purpose of the family is to prevent future generations from forgetting God. The family was designed by God to be an instrument to preserve fellowship between God and His creatures for all generations. That is the primary purpose. So the family is to preserve the fellowship between God and man for all future generations. The husband and wife, when you enter into marriage, you enter into a cooperative effort to build the kingdom of God through the training of children. In a nutshell, the family belongs to God, and it functions by His will to promote His interest to succeeding generations. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, listen to this. The Lord expressed confidence in Abraham's commitment to promote the program of God to succeeding generations by saying, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So the Lord said, "I know Abraham is going to represent me before his family for future generations." Any philosophy of the family that fails to recognize this divine purpose is seriously defective. Some of you probably recognize the name Cokie Roberts. She's a commentator for public broadcasting. And along with her husband, Stephen Roberts, she writes editorials. And in an editorial on July the 9th, 2007, in the Martinsville Bulletin, the editorial was entitled, "Who Will Cry for You?" The article mentioned the funeral of a friend's father that had recently died. He was a public official. The funeral included many speakers that had served with him. They mentioned the good points of this man, the wonderful things he had done. But the Roberts noted that the only two speakers that wept were his son and his granddaughter. Others remembered him with fondness. Others spoke of his good points, and they missed him. But only family members wept over him. So the thrust of their editorial was that the family is important because of the deep relationships formed in that home. You need somebody who's going to weep over you. And I admit the importance of those close relationships in our homes. But I'm declaring to you this morning on the basis of the Word of God that the importance of the home is not found in that child's tears, but in that child's relationship with God. That is what magnifies the importance of the home. Is not that child's tears at your death, but that child's relationship with God. That is the crux of the matter. We are to train our children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. The training commanded by God involves the way he should go. Now, he's not inclined to go the way he should. Any of y'all ever experienced that? He is inclined to go his own way. And the Lord said we're to train him in the way he should go. That means you're going to set yourself in opposition to the way they want to go. I'm telling you, there are hot fires in hell. And they're waiting on parents who opt out of their responsibility to influence their children in the right way by saying, we'll just let them make up their own minds. Oh, yeah? And you will suffer the consequences. For left without wise counsel, a child's feet go down to death. And their steps take hold on hell. Fathers are exhorted by Paul in Ephesians 6 and 4 to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, there is a source of this nurture. There is a source of this admonition. You're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The principles to be instilled in these children are divinely derived principles, and they're found in the Word of God. Fathers have a responsibility to set boundaries for their children and to enforce those boundaries through loving discipline. And you understand that discipline, in order to be effective, has to be loving discipline. Has to be discipline that the children understand is done not because dad's mad, but because dad cares. All government functions to restrain evil behavior and encourage noble behavior. All government instituted by God, including that in the family, is designed to discourage unlawful behavior and to encourage noble behavior. The government of the home informs children of the right way, deals punishment when they take the wrong way, and rewards them when they choose the right way. In the Bible, in the New Testament, aged women are exhorted to teach the younger women. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. And certainly Paul is referring to a church function here, that the aged women are to teach the younger women. But the exhortation applies most aptly to the home. Training aged women, training the younger women. And he tells us what that training involves. He tells us what it's to be. He says they're to train them in proper personal restraint and discipline. They're training them to be sober. Train them to be discreet. Train them to be chaste. That is pure. Pure in their behavior. Pure in their appearance. They're training them to be chaste. They're training them in the proper relationships in the home. They're training them to love their husband. To obey their husband. Boy, did y'all ever read that? It really says that. It says that aged women are to train the younger women to love their husbands, to obey their husbands, to love their children, and to keep order in that home. It says to be keepers at home, which means to be laborers at home, to keep order in that home, to work to make that home peaceful and functional. That does not mean, well, I better leave that alone for another day. The effectiveness of any training, listen to this, is dependent upon how well that training is modeled. Did you hear me? I said the effectiveness of any training is dependent upon how well that training is modeled. Isaiah 38 and 19, Hezekiah says, you know, he's just got through praying. God heard him, heard his prayer, extended his life for 15 years. And he said, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Did you understand that? The father to the children shall make known thy truth. When truth is neglected, when truth is not sought nor taught, what will happen to the next generation when this generation drops the baton and fails to seek, know, and teach the truth to future generations? In his rebuke of the Jews in Acts chapter 7, Stephen said to them, he said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Understand this, saints of God. Your attitude toward the working of God's Spirit, your response to the Word of God, is going to affect your children for generations to come. You resist the Holy Ghost, he said, even as your fathers resisted the Holy Ghost, so do ye. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1, the prophet speaks for God. Listen to this. Oh my, Judah is in spiritual trouble. Here's the reason why they're in spiritual trouble. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in the broad places thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth. See if you can find one. He went on to say in that same chapter in verse 5, I will get me to the great men. I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these, the great men, have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds, that is, the bonds of the Lord's word, the yoke of the Lord's word. These men that knew the word of the Lord, the great men, but they have broken the bonds. They burst the yoke, and they have said in their hearts, we will not live by the commands of God. Now then, Judah is in real spiritual trouble because those that knew the truth did not pass the truth on to that next generation, and the judgment of God is hovering over that whole nation because somebody failed to treasure the truth and pass it on to the next generation. What does a nation do when nobody knows the right way anymore? Here is what happened in Judah. Those that knew the right way did not pass on to the next generation the right way. What hope do children have when dad and mom have no idea of the divine mandate that's been assigned to them to train up a child in the way he should go? Brother, we are living in a generation that has no idea of the divine mandate given to every dad and every mom to train up that child in the way he should go. Ignorance of God's word, ignorance of God's ways, is not just something that's confined to the dark continent of Africa. Ignorance of God's word, ignorance of God's word, and ignorance of God's ways is found in this country, in your neighborhood, in your families, and even in this church. If I were to go around this church and question you, some of you who have sat on pews for years, question you as to the commandments of God. Question you as to the will and ways of God. Could you tell me? Could you explain to me what is the ways and the will of God for you and your life? If I said to you, could you tell some soul how to get from earth to glory? Could you explain the way to get from Martinsville to the New Jerusalem? Could you make them a map? Oh, I feel the Lord right here now. Oh, God. Right here in this church, I'm not talking about people down the road. I'm not talking about the people in the church down yonder. I'm talking about you sitting on these pews. Could you draw a map from Martinsville to the New Jerusalem? Could you tell somebody how to get from here to there? How can we teach the commands of God when we don't know them and do not keep them ourselves? The destruction of the family unit and family order in America does not bode well for future generations in this country. We are not positioned in our families. Listen to me now. Hope I don't lose you. Stay with me just a few more minutes. We are not positioned in our families to produce godly generations. We act like we're either expecting a crop failure from our wild seed, or else we don't care whether future generations in our families will be governed by hell and eventually inhabit hell. Do you care? How much do we care? How important is it to us that our children be governed by heaven and inhabit heaven? Or does it matter to us that our children be governed by hell and inhabit hell at the end of life? Lee Harvey Oswald. How many of y'all recognize that name? Born in a dysfunctional family. His mother was violent, dominating. Her second husband divorced her because she beat him up regularly. Lee was by her third husband, who died of a heart attack just a few months before he was born. His mother worked long hours. The child is at home, alone. She commanded him, "Don't call me at work." She had no time for her son. He received no affection, no discipline, no training. He was homely, he was poor, he was a misfit at school, he was untrained. Others made fun of him, picked on him. He was rejected not only by the boys, but by the girls as well. He had a high IQ, but the emotional and mental problems caused him to drop out of high school. And later on, hoping to become a man, joined the Marines. But he ran into the same problems there he'd run into in high school. He resented authority. Constantly fought with the other Marines. And wound up dishonorably discharged. He went to Russia. Was rejected there. Married a Russian girl. Brought her back to America with him. She soon lost all respect for him, treated him with contempt, demanded more than he could provide, bullied him physically, finally forced him to leave. In desperate loneliness, he literally crawled, begged her to take him back. She ridiculed him, made fun of him before his friends. Once he fell to his knees, bitterly crying over the rejection he had known in life. No family to love him. No training. He decided he would do something that would make him known all over the world. So November the 22nd, 1963, he pulled the trigger and put two bullets in the head of President John Kennedy. Now everybody knows who Lee Harvey Oswald is. The result of no father, an absent mother, ignorance of God. Hear me now. Are y'all hearing me? If we could go back far enough in Lee Harvey Oswald's family, we could probably find somebody that was acquainted with the ways and the word of God, but did not see the importance of passing that on to the next generation. And so everybody knows Lee Harvey Oswald, who after killing John F. Kennedy, was himself cut down by Jack Ruby before he ever stood trial. Listen to this promise God has given us. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The trained are strongly affected by correct training. When he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm trying to bring this to a close, so y'all just grip the seat a little bit longer. Two things I want you to notice here. First of all, oh my brother and sister, we are not training to produce respectable sinners. That's not the end result that we're hoping for. We're not training to produce respectable sinners. Some parents seem to be satisfied if their children are not a moral embarrassment or an economic burden to them. But we're not training our children just so we can produce respectable sinners. Our training is directed by God to lead our children to God. I'm telling you, you can teach your children manners, and you ought to. You can educate your children, and you ought to. You can train your children to be respectable, and you ought to. But that's not going to get them to heaven. There's something got to be added to that, and that is an experience with God. And I'm telling you, they can be respectable. They can walk that high road to hell. Secondly, we are not training so that our children will in the end escape hell by the skin of their teeth. We are training for a righteous life, a spiritually productive life, so that when they are old, when they are out from under our hands, when we have put the last impress upon that child, when they have now responsible on their own, they will not depart from it. From what? The way they should go. A way that's explained to us in the Word of God. They will not depart from it. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. I don't know where I got this. Some of y'all might have given it to me. I had it in my files at home. My children's dad. I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some people that I meet. I may never have the fame that other men may have. But I've just got to be successful as my children's dad. There are certain dreams that I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I'd like to accomplish before my working days are through. But the task that my heart is set on is no mere passing fad. I've just got to be successful as my children's dad. It's the one job I dream of, the task I think of most. For if I fail my children, I've nothing else to boast. For all the wealth and fame I'd gather, my fortune would be sad if I fail to be successful as my children's dad. I may never come to glory. I may never gather gold. And men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if my children can grow up godly, then I'll be oh so glad. For I'll know I've been successful as my children's dad. I don't think I've done my subject justice. And I don't know if you realize the crisis we're in the United States of America. And the crisis we're in the churches all across America, because we have failed to realize the mandate, divine mandate, given to us by God. There is no substitute for the family and the influence of a mother and dad in training their children in the way they should go. I don't hardly know how to end this. But I feel this in my heart. That if there is not in us a desire to fit into the pattern of God in our personal life, in our families, and in our churches, it is because there's something wrong on the inside. And what God wants to do for us is adjust us on the inside so that we agree with Him. We agree with His principles. We agree with His plan. We commit ourselves to
to what God has expressed in the Word of God as His will and His ways. And if there's a soul in this house this morning without Jesus, I don't know that I can say that this has been an evangelistic message, but it's certainly been a message by which you can be saved if you'll submit yourself to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'm going to open this altar up this morning. If there's a soul in this place without Jesus, you want to submit your life to the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. We're going to open the altars for you.